B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brute settles the puck. Ducks the head, fires it on right wing Johansson to the right circle. Johansson, backhand toward the slot, off the post! They score! That was a rocket in and out of the net so fast! Charlie Coyle released it, and we're tied at two!
Listen, when I play with him in Minnesota, we used to always joke around. Obviously, with him being from Massachusetts, we used to call him Baby Gronk because he is just that man child. And he's not a child anymore. He's a grown man, and he's starting to realize now, and a comparable for me is Tomas Hertl. Because Tomas Hertl played in this league, and he showed flashes of brilliance, and Charlie Coyle was our best player in Minnesota when we had the playoffs against Chicago Blackhawks. When he would turn it on, you couldn't get the puck from him. And you saw in the one of the highlights earlier in the game, he was holding on to the puck the entire time. You cannot get it away from him. He can skate. He can hit. He has great...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brute settles the puck. Ducks the head, fires it on right wing Johansson to the right circle. Johansson, backhand toward the slot, off the post! They score!
Listen, when I play with him in Minnesota, we used to always joke around. Obviously, with him being from Massachusetts, we used to call him Baby Gronk because he is just that man child. And he's not a child anymore. He's a grown man, and he's starting to realize now, and a comparable for me is Tomas Hertl. Because Tomas Hertl played in this league, and he showed flashes of brilliance, and Charlie Coyle was our best player in Minnesota when we had the playoffs against Chicago Blackhawks. When he would turn it on, you couldn't get the puck from him. And you saw in the one of the highlights earlier in the game, he was holding on to the puck the entire time. You cannot get it away from him. He can skate. He can hit. He has great skill. But we only saw it once in a while. Now we're starting to put it more together more often. Look what Tomas Hertl has done. He has realized, hey, when I want to take the puck to the net, they cannot do anything. Charlie Coyle's recognizing that. Man, he looks really, really effective right now.
Final hour of Gender Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Felger and Maz from our Town Fair Tire Studios. That's Mike Rupp on the NHL Network, who played with Charlie Coyle in Minnesota. Said when they made the playoffs and played the Blackhawks those years, Charlie Coyle became their best player. Didn't see it all the time, but I don't know, maybe you're starting to see it here with the Bruins. And when they made that trade and you watched Charlie Coyle play on a nightly basis with the Bruins, he wasn't scoring, he wasn't putting up points, but you saw everything else. The way he skated, his size, the way he possessed the puck. Good three-zone player, good defensive player. Possession guy, he can't get the puck away from him. Sort of does it all, and he didn't score assisting. He had no points. It's like, so what does that add up to? But you saw the physical plant of Charlie Coyle, and maybe this is just his time. If his best time was the playoffs in Minnesota, maybe you're seeing it here with Boston, and that his game is just conducive to this time of year.
I mean, he's been one of their three best players in the playoffs. Really, you know, it's probably him, Marchand, and Rask.
I would say so. Okay, so could be even more important if David Krejci's out with that shoulder. So we'll see where that stands. Bruins are saying day-to-day. I'm a little dubious. I don't know, conflicting sort of signals on how bad David Krejci's hurt. But keep in mind now for this series going forward, David Krejci was lit up by Riley Nash, former Bruin who left in free agency that last offseason. Riley Nash hit David Krejci late. It was in the third period. Krejci still played a couple shifts and then didn't come out for the overtime period. But David Krejci was in his own zone. The puck was away, and Nash lit him up late. And you have Brad Marchand in the locker room today. Brad Marchand pointed out something that I think many Bruins noted, and maybe Riley Nash should note himself going forward in this series.
And I don't think he had a hit in 2 years with us. So,
Brad Marchand says of Riley Nash, I don't think he had a hit in 2 years when he was with us.
And now he's lighting up David Krejci. If David Krejci's out, I would just, if I were Riley Nash coming up in game two, I'd have my head on a swivel.
No question about it, because that's exactly what Marchand's saying. Like, oh, okay, so now you're targeting our number two center. Is that what you're doing?
When you didn't touch a fly when you were here, even though Riley Nash did. But I'm just telling, this is the, whether Marchand's.
The Bruins feel like it was a hit.
Whether Marchand's right or wrong or whatever, I'm just telling the tenor of this thing. This is now the tenor. You could see it off the opening faceoff last night. More physical series. And more of a series, frankly, that's conducive to the Bruins. All right, so my big picture thought on the win last night was just it was a really important win, and I think you agree, Maz.
No question. Look, again, given all the circumstances going in, because we had talked about it, that if you look at it and you say teams coming off a long layoff, playing against a team that just completed a seven-game series, and I heard this on the ride home the other night. It was Pharrell on the bench, and I heard it on the night show. And they had a stat that was something like 2-9 teams were in game one in that situation. When coming off a long layoff against a team that had played a long series. And so you look at that, you look at the way the first period went where the Bruins absolutely dominated. Columbus was skating uphill that whole period. You're going to come out and lose that game on two deflections in the third period, 13 seconds apart? You can't lose that game. So especially because I think, you know, and this is sort of the common theory too, right? That the later the series goes, the more it'll benefit Columbus. So if Columbus starts stealing games early, well, you could be in trouble.
On the broadcast on TV, they were talking about that in the overtime last night and how that was going to benefit Columbus because they've had a little bit more rest. Now, thankfully, the Bruins ended up winning it, which they deserved to. That would have sucked if they lost that. I think it would have been borderline catastrophic if they did.
I think if they had lost that, that's potential psychological damage to the Bruins. And the hot goalie starts to creep into your head because Bobrovsky was really good in that game. It should have been 3-4-0 in the second period. Before Columbus got their act together. So if the Bruins had lost that game after coming out the way they came out, and now the goalie's in their head and that compounds, and now you press for a goal the next game, we all have seen how that has happened over the years. So that's what was at stake last night if they had lost that game. So it was huge that they came back and won that game. I think the physical nature of the series you saw from the jump, as we just discussed, I thought the goaltending on both sides was phenomenal. I thought Rask was great.
He was terrific again.
And I think in the early period, I give him a lot of credit because he did not see a lot of action, only a couple shots, really, in the first 10-plus minutes. But they were both testers. He bailed out Chara, who had a horrible turnover in his own zone, and he made a arm stop there. Maybe towards the end of that first period, but that kept it a 1-0 game for the Bruins, and Rask did not have nearly the amount of rubber that Bobrovsky did, but I thought Rask was terrific. Nothing he could do about either goal. I thought Bobrovsky, you saw the full Bobrovsky. This guy's a badass. Athletic. Different than Rask. The way Bobrovsky can contort, get post to post, go into the splits, cover that whole net with, you know, just the way he plays, he is a badass. Sergei Bobrovsky. And if he had won that game, he starts to climb into your head. But I thought the goaltending was exceptional. I think the questions with David Pastrnak continue to get worse. It is bizarre how bad he is playing. It is absolutely like
he doesn't even look like the same guy.
Someone needs to check for psychological damage. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with his head or his hand or maybe both. You know, we're just sort of playing around with it. Did he re-injure the hand in that game two against Toronto? Because he was never the same after that. He scored a couple up in Toronto, but they were both sort of, one was a deflection.
Correct.
And the other was a one-timer. So I don't want to totally take that off the board, but it feels like he's shooting less. And his passes are just all over the place, like bizarrely so. He can't hold on to the puck. It's always a turnover. Did he hurt his hand again in game two against Toronto? Is he now medicating it? And is there a combination between an injured hand and too many meds? Because he's playing like he's loopy. There's something wrong there. Something seriously wrong there to the point where Cassidy, who keeps playing him and giving every chance to get out of it, I think should do the opposite and start sitting him. Start sitting him. That's another note. The note of, I think, Johansson and Coyle, never mind Sweeney having a good deadline. The importance of that secondary scoring is huge. I keep saying, I never bought nor liked the commentary that the Bruins live and die with that first line. That means you're not a good team. They need other lines going. That's why Krejci's so important. But if Johansson and Coyle are going to pick up that slack, fine. Huge development for him. Huge. Finally, I just hated the way the game was called. 8 penalties, guys diving all over the place, and the refs giving it to them. I hated that. I hated that. It's going to be a physical series. It's the playoffs. Don't take the cheese on guys hitting the ice. I'm talking about both teams. I didn't like the Yamana power plays. Although the Bruins PK was a key to the victory last night, just about.
Well, their penalty kill was excellent last night. Really so, terrific.
Those are our Bruins reset thoughts. You can join us on that or anything else at 617-779-0985. Mike in the truck has been waiting patiently on the Bees. Go ahead, Mike.
I told you, Mike, I had a feeling about Charlie Coyle, and man, is he proving me right now. And the importance of last night's win, like you guys were saying, after Columbus scored those two quick goals, you're kind of thinking, okay, Tuca's going to wilt. The team's going to start scrambling. They're going to do the same thing to us that they did to Tampa in their first game. And that didn't happen. The Bruins settled it down, keep grinding.
It's right, and now it doesn't compound. Because that was the kind of game that has a chance to lead into another one.
Sure. Like, especially because think about it. We'd be saying, wow, they blew that game and they lost Krejci. Like, that's what we'd be dwelling on.
So different tone. But I will tell you, after the second goal and just being in the building, the crowd immediately started like a Let's Go Bruins chant. I don't want to get all corny and fanny on you. But, and the team, I thought, played well after that second goal.
Yeah, there was overall tight booty syndrome going on.
The whole
they picked it up.
The whole feeling was not like
dead.
It was really sort of just the opposite. I was surprised, but I think if you would actually end up losing that game, that does set in. That sets in among the team. That sets in the building, and that has a way of again compounding.
So maybe that's what Cassidy's talking about—the euphoria of Game 7 spilling over. And the other thing we haven't talked enough about, Johansson. That
skill plays.
Oh my gosh.
The first one especially.
Oh my, that's a backhand. A backhand pass, a one-timer guy to be one of the best goalies in the league. Like, that is a great play. Unbelievable.
Bill in Rhode Island on the Patriots draft. Go ahead, Bill.
I say on this quarterback, let's just call him Harry and make it easy.
Done.
The second thing, I'm going to give Maz a new name today. It's Debbie Downer. And the reason he's Debbie Downer, because that's the... That's the word for negative people that are never happy.
I've heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, Debbie Downer. So from now on, when I call in, I'm going to ask for Downer. Because this guy doesn't like anything that happens with any team in New England.
That's not true. You just don't remember the positive comments. None of us do. But he does have them. every now and then. They're hard to remember.
I have to have this conversation with my dad every time I see him. Maz hates everything. Dad, not everything.
It's not true.
Maz picked the Bruins to win the Cup in 2011.
I did, yeah. Well, that was eight years ago.
Let's not go back 8 years. Can we pick up something in the last couple days that he liked?
I picked the Bruins to beat the Leafs in 7.
Okay, that's true.
That slipped through the cracks, though.
Did you pick the Pats over the Rams?
He did.
I did.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I was very disappointed in him, but he did.
I did. I picked the Pats. Yep.
What else? What else does he like?
I picked the Chiefs in the AFC title game. I picked the Pats in the Super Bowl.
We've got Cam and Methuen on the Bees. Hi, Cam.
Yeah, real quick. When secondary scoring is a part of the Bruins game, it takes pressure off the top lines. The Bruins, you know, they need that, especially with the guys we have being fragile and, you know, oftentimes needing that extra jump to get going. Pasta looks like he's playing with a friggin' lefty stick. In years past, Bruins have had trouble putting the puck in the net, you know, third, fourth line, even second line scoring wasn't producing. You know, right now Sweeney's off the hook with those guys looking good, and the Bruins looked good last night besides, you know, when they shot at themselves for those few minutes.
Okay, Cam, thanks for the call. Pasternak looks like he's playing with a field hockey stick.
I like the way he put it there. It's good. He looks like he's playing with a lefty stick.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
There were some passes.
Yeah, so with a guy with that kind of scoring ability and touch, how do you not think it's the thumb? That's immediately what I go to, because he injured that thumb. You figure it was going to affect him when he came back. It didn't. But now there's something going on there because there's no touch. The puck comes to him. He's jittery. He can't even make a pass to one of his teammates. It's usually going into the corner or somewhere else, and he's afraid to shoot. It's the thumb. It's got to be.
You know what? I'm buying into that.
Me too.
Because, again, it's... There's just so many sloppy plays where it looks like the puck's going nowhere near where it's supposed to. You have to think something's going on.
I mean, I for his sake, I almost hope it is. Because if it's just a slump, like, dude, you've got to do something. If that's just something in your head, what are we going to do about it? If that's just your head, that's scary that you could fall off that far.
He should be able to shoot, though. It was his left hand. He would lose some control, but it feels like he's lost everything.
He's lost it all.
If it's his head, I got the remedy.
Okay. Meanwhile,
Maz knows.
Meanwhile,
never shot like that in your life on that goal.
No, that's true. Yeah, it was great.
Meanwhile, on your knees, Boston. On your knees, Jones. The big board does it again.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is Hunter Renfro on this page?
Nope.
Nope.
Go ahead, Anthony.
All right, here you go. Fire away,
please. This marker is pink.
Okay.
Nice shot, Mass, and you keep wrecking
really
on
it.
Same spot. Yeah. The same spot. I hit that clip. It's just to the left of the clip.
Sure. Hakeel Harry?
Oh, N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal? N'Keal.
Yeah.
N'Keal in this case is spelled N apostrophe K E A L. N'Keal.
Who's he play for?
N'Keal Harry's from Arizona State, Mass.
Ooh.
He goes at 6'3 and 5'8.
Oh, they could use some size with the Lilliputians they have.
6'3 and 5'8, 216 pounds. Strong points. Harry has great size with long arms.
Oh, great.
Well built and strong, explosive athlete with speed, quick feet, change of direction, flexibility, and body control.
Downside, can't catch the ball.
Weak points. He's fast, but not in the 4-3 range fast. I don't care about that.
I mean,
If he isn't the primary, there are times Harry doesn't give maximum effort. Welcome to the wide receiver position.
Typical receiver.
Yep. He did not play in Arizona State's bowl game. Because he sat out. Good for him.
Yeah, who wants to?
Makes him smart. Put him on the board. I think we have a chance there.
Or selfish.
N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State. Put him on the Felger and Maz big board.
N'Keal.
With the 32nd pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State.
On your knees, Jones. On your knees, Boston. On your knees.
Worship the board.
Draft nerds.
Respect the board.
Yeah. You know how much awful college football Jones has to watch to come up with his picks and all the time and effort he spends into getting one right every 10 years? Where the Felgram has big board every single year? This is the whole point of the exercise. There's nothing more useless or painful in my mind than pre-draft analysis. Believe me, I'm a sport dork. I will dork out to sports with all of them. You know this by now. And I will sit there and talk all day about a game and how to beat somebody and the strategy that goes into it and the competition. Like, I love all that. I'll dork out to that all day long. The draft stuff? Ooh.
I was one of these guys. And really, the board has taught me differently. Like, I don't need to be watching this all the time to get this kind of stuff right and to think that I know more than the other guy. You don't.
I mean,
nobody knows. The board knows. That's the only thing that knows.
The teams don't know. But the analysis. Oh, and I'm not I mean, dump on any of these guys. It's a whole industry, and great that the media has jobs. I'm not taking away these jobs. I'm just telling you, you can sit there and listen all day to Kuiper and
McShay
and Jones dork out at night to Pac-12 football and Phil Perry and any of these guys just blah, blah, blah about the three-cone drill and this guy out of Auburn and blah, 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 blah. Or you can just chuck markers at a magazine and have the same success rate. It's the same difference. Now, Jones claims he got one right last night. I think he was kind of excited about it.
The New England Patriots select N'Keal
Jones! Jones has done it!
You gotta be kidding me.
Suck it, Boston! That's right! Yeah! Jones big board! And Jones did it without hucking a marker. Now, I have to tell you, the only thing I didn't like about making N'Keal Harry my one guy, not one of 35 Felger and Maz hucking your markers, my one guy, the only thing I don't like it is that the Felger and Maz big board hit too.
Yeah, it did, Jones. Suck it. Yeah, suck it. On your knees.
I hit on the guy.
By the way, love the pick. N'Keal Harry.
Okay, that's enough. Once every 10 years. Good job, Jones.
My one guy.
We've picked 7 of the last 8 years. We've given you at least one name. We've now given you 8 names and 8 draft picks and counting over the last 8 years.
The only thing I didn't like about making N'Keal Harry my one guy, not one of 35 Felger and Maz hucking your markers, my one guy.
The one thing you didn't like is that?
The only thing I don't like it is that the Felger and Maz Big board hit too.
Ha, suck it. Yep. Felger and Maz Big. So what you're saying is we're just as likely to come up with the guy chucking a marker as we are dorking out to all the data and combine crap. I agree, Jones. We're just as likely. In fact, we're more likely because we didn't hit one every 8 years. We hit 7 out of 8 years.
My one guy.
8 players in 8 years and counting. We've got 3 more rounds, whatever, 3 more days to go.
11 more picks.
11 more picks to go, okay? And
I'm annoyed by that now.
You should be annoyed by that.
More are coming.
We've given you.
I agree, Murray.
We've given you essentially the last 3 first-round picks. And I say essentially. In 2017, we missed. Everybody missed. They only picked 4 players. No one in the first 2 rounds. So I really throw 2017 out. Other than that, we've given you the last 3 years the top player off the board. We gave you N'Keal Harris. We gave
Harry.
We gave you Isaiah Wynn. We gave you
Cyrus Jones.
Cyrus Jones. So don't disrespect the board, Jones. In other words,
suck it, Boston. That's right.
Just the on the contrary, Jones, on your knees.
Yeah.
Real quick, you know what? Let's just do it one more time. Can we do one more?
One guy.
Because I think he might draft a kicker. So I've just opened up the magazine again, Murray. Do you have anything to throw?
Yep.
Hey, got something, Maz?
Okay, so listen, I don't want to make a mess. Just
throw
be
all
sure
that cramp away.
Oh, you're going to use a black Sharpie?
Yeah. Yep. You want to do it.
Don't miss.
Oh, shut up, you big baby. Here we go.
Nice shot, Maz.
Okay.
My one guy.
Claire
I think they should draft a kicker.
As do I.
Okay, this is Matt Wisnowski.
Goskowski Wisnowski.
Matt Wisnowski. He's from Utah. I really don't need to tell you anything about it. He's an effing kicker. He kicks. So I'm not going to tell you his size or his anything.
I don't like him.
Not one of 35 Felger and Maz hucking your markers.
Pat Wisnowski, your next kicker out of Utah.
I don't like him. He's kicking in altitude. I don't like him.
That's a fair point.
Okay, but anyway, the actual pick, how do you feel about it, Murray? You like it?
I do, yeah, because, well, for one, it's not a quarterback, and, you know, they need help at that position maybe more than any other. I was hoping they would take a wide receiver, would have been good with a defensive player, but it's all about building around Brady, using these picks, every single one of them, to continue to build around Brady. So they got a wide receiver. I'd like another one. I'd like another tight end. I'd like a defensive lineman. I'll take whatever, as long as it's not a quarterback.
I'm just going to tweet out the photo of the big board again with N'Keal Harry outlined, highlighted, just so everyone knows that this is authentic and legit.
Now, I have to tell you.
We just showed the video from Wednesday.
I know, but I'm sending out the photos.
I took the time.
I also want them to have the board in front of them for rounds 2 and 3 tonight.
Am I cut and pasted on the big board? I actually cut out N'Keal Harry's picture.
Yeah!
So not only did we hit him, we actually liked him. You know, when you read his bio, it's like, this guy could be their kind of guy.
Didn't sound like there was tight hips or anything like that. Not a lot of downside.
Did not have high hips, had good bend. But the thing that brought him down the board, I guess, is the speed, which I just don't care about.
I don't care if he's a burner. I mean, you got good hands. Can you get a little separation? Can you come back to the ball?
Fight for the ball for Brady. Come back to the ball. Can you catch? Can you get it? Now, apparently separation is a little bit of an issue with the kid, but I'm willing to work with him on that. So I'm fine with the pick. I do want some quarterbacks off the board starting tonight. I really do.
I'm more worried about Harry's chemistry with the quarterback. I told you, I generally don't like receivers in the first round with the Patriots, given their history. But tonight?
But there is no history. They've never taken one in the first round.
Okay, but they've taken receivers in the draft. Like, you get
They've sucked. I'll give you that, sure.
So now that said, tonight's the night to watch. They got 5 picks tonight. I mean, they should be active one way or another.
It's a big night for them.
Absolutely. They get 2 seconds, 3/3, and if they don't use them all, they're making trades. So tonight's the night, if you're a Patriots fan, tonight's the night to watch.
Chris in the car, what do you got for us?
Hi, guys. Felger, just wondering about, you know how your spiel used to be like, you never know about this, it's 4 years, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know about picks. Have you changed your attitude about that?
Oh,
like,
no.
And also, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't know if this guy's any good. I'm not predicting that. The big board just tells you who they're taking. They don't tell you if you're any good or not.
No. I'm giving Maz. Oh, Maz. Oh, I wanted to say first, my first take was, Maz, way to go. Way to go. You nailed it. Thank you, Maz. Way to go.
It's a gift.
I mean, we gave you Cyrus Jones. The guy couldn't get out of his own way. I mean, we draft, we hit on sucky players. So I'm just, It just predicts who the Patriots are going to pick. That's all that that does.
Correct. I personally like to believe that I do have some sort of special connection with the board. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, now this guy. Like, I think that there is, kinetically, we are connected.
Doug in Sterling with the Bruins take. Yes, Doug.
I'm growing a little concerned with what I perceive to be Charlie McAvoy's unwillingness or not wanting to get hit. There were a couple sequences last night in his own zone. He was against the right board, and one or two guys would come in, and he'd try to either pass, and it would be a choke pass, and they'd pick it off or not. And I just wasn't sure if maybe he was a little dinged up somewhere or nerves, or what you guys might think.
Well, let's hit on this. I, being at the game, I did not notice it, Maz. You were nodding your head there as he was saying.
No, because I think overall, my gripe with McAvoy is more overall than it is about any specific issue. I want to notice him more.
Yeah.
I want to notice him more. Because I think McAvoy, you know, look, there's a higher standard for him. Now, if I'm looking at his numbers, 8 games, he's a +5. He's got 4 points, right? He had 6 penalty minutes. I think two of those penalties came in one game, if I remember right. But anyway, like, and in the Toronto series, at times, just at times, to me, it looked like it was moving a little too fast for him. But then again, after last night, Toronto was moving too fast for everybody. Tell me that wasn't a striking thing that you noticed last night.
Oh, my God. It's a totally different game.
The speed of the game.
Totally.
Boy, it really does accentuate Toronto's speed. They can fly. So McAvoy's been fine. He's been fine. I don't want fine. I want good.
You want Drew Doughty.
I want impact.
Yeah.
And he's still got some time to grow. But to me, especially in this series, I think they're going to need some offense from their defensemen if they want to win this series.
Okay, one more segment of calls. I promise we'll whip through all of them. So if you're sitting there, sit tight. Update, we come back with you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They were clearly in a dogfight just to get in. We were trying to solidify second place, so a little different animal. They were a little more desperate than us. I still thought they were good games. We came to play. And at the end of the day, I don't know how much value you put in.
Those are dialed in right now. Start this game.
Achari brings it up the line, into the right circle. Shoots, he scores! Goal, Achari electrifies the crowd here at the Garden with a short-handed goal. He drilled it low inside the far post. 1-0 Bruins.
Look at the penalty kill tonight. Great job by those guys in the bottom of the lineup. Not only scored, they killed. What, there was a 50% power play going into this game for Columbus, and we killed everyone.
Here's Seth Jones, puts it in front, and there's a score! Take that and rewind it back into the Bruins' end. Give the penalty, and he shoots and scores! Oh, bake me a big loaf, Red Man.
It's happened so many times this year, I feel like, that we kind of gotten scored on, you know, not back-to-back shots, but, like, quickly. And I think we know how to respond to that. We don't get rattled.
Johansson, backhand toward the slot, off the post! Score! Here's Circle Johansson, fires to Flick, and they score! The Boston Bruins victorious 3-2 over the Blue Jackets. They've won each of their last three. They take the upper hand of the series.
Before I got the puck, I already saw Charlie going back door, so it was just kind of a quick play. One of those you don't really think, you just do it, and it was fun to see the one win.
Like I said, I was just relieved we got the win. I really didn't care who scored, to be honest. Like I said, that was the end of it, but it's not special. It's special personally, but it's all about the team here, and like I said, I was glad after that turnover just to get the win, no matter how we did it.
All right, that's Jimmy's mix. Should be an interesting series, different than the last one. We had the Nazem Kadri nonsense, but and then it toned down from there. There was nothing really after Kadri, nothing. This one, it's already sort of started. If you noticed in overtime, Marchand stomps on Cam Atkinson's stick during a faceoff in the neutral zone. Atkinson, you know, has to go to the bench, get a new one. He comes back, and when he comes back, he sort of gives Marshawn a little shove in the back, and Marshawn responds by slashing him across the throat, just under the throat anyway. And again, the NHL Network was ripping Marshawn for it today. Cam Atkinson said what today, Maz?
Okay, this was on the Twitter account of Jeff Svoboda, who I'm guessing covers, and this popped up in a notification from Bleacher Report on my phone. Cam Atkinson's latest response to Brad Marchand snapping his stick last night, colon, he owes me $300. So you can tell him that. I'm expecting that. You are the team, they asked. Me, it's my property. It says Atkinson on it. Do you take a check or Venmo? Cash. Straight cash, he said.
I'd love to know the tone. He's got to be joking.
That is great. Atkinson wants Marchmont to pay for his stick.
Three bills.
That's tremendous.
I'll tell you what, if I were him, I'd want the $300 too, that rat.
The teams pay for it. It's all sponsor-driven. Those guys don't ever reach in their pocket for their equipment.
Silly.
So he owes whoever, Warrior, whoever made Atkinson sick. That's what's amazing. Is CCM? What's amazing is that the amount of times those sticks break, and they're $285.
Oh, yeah. No, they're expensive.
Oh, they're stupid.
The composite sticks are expensive.
They're stupid. Can you cue up Mike Rupp of the NHL Network here, Jimmy Stewart? Just his commentary, if you could. Mike Rupp on the NHL Network was not that impressed with Marchand and that whole thing with Atkinson. In fact, he sort of got a Marchand
for it. I'm all for being a thorn in the opponent's side, but look at this right here. You see Marchand stomping on Atkinson's stick. To me, that language in overtime is telling the referees, it's showing a disrespect, and it's insulting the referees in this situation because you're saying, it's overtime, you ain't calling this. That's a penalty clear cut through every day of the week. My point is, for what? What is the point? You're in overtime. You're lucky they didn't call it. Then he goes, and when Atkinson comes back, Atkinson gives him a little bit of a bump. Marchand blindly swings his stick around and gets him in the neck. That hits him in the face and drops him. Now you got to. It's just not worth it. This guy, I love him as a hockey player. He's going to, you don't want to be the Naz Kadri in this situation. We know what's going on in Toronto with that situation. He's good. He has to move past it. Quit doing that. He just played the game. They won. But he's lucky that neither of those things were called right there. His team could have very easily lost this game.
Okay, so that's Mike Rupp on Marchand. Marchand, right in the middle of it all, Riley Nash, former Bruin, takes out David Krejci. David Krejci may now miss time because Riley Nash with a late hit. Brad Marchand today on that.
You know, I don't think he had a hit in 2 years with us. So
I don't think Nash had a hit in 2 years with us.
I mean, that's a good shot. Marchand's got to be careful, though, because I think that they're baiting him and they're getting under his skin already. Like, you know, because the point that they made on NHL Network is accurate. And look, we had a photo up here earlier that showed that Atkinson did have his stick at the back of Marchand's skates. So he might have been tapping there, letting him know. And Marchand said, "Oh, you're going to play that game? Fine, I'll squash your stupid stick.
Your $300
stick." I'll tell you what, when Atkinson had to go get his new one, he grabbed the blade and kind of snapped it in half and threw it like he was disgusted. He was irritated. He was clearly irritated.
Bad blood's coming. I think it's a good thing for this series.
Well, so do I, except that Marchand will get popped, Murray.
Yeah. Of the history, you'd think.
So all I'm saying is that, you know, the guy who retaliates always gets nailed.
Okay, calls. Let me get through these guys because they've been waiting.
Sure.
Phil and Winthrop on the draft. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I had a question from Maz about the draft. He said he wanted the Patriots to take a defensive lineman with their first pick. There were 11 defensive linemen taken last night before the Patriots picked. I don't see the logic in taking the, you know, whatever's on your board, the 10th, 11th, 12th best defensive lineman when you could get, you know, maybe the top-ranked or second-ranked wide receiver.
Let me stop you there. His thought.
Sure, except that this draft is supposed to be deep in defensive linemen. And I do think it's one of their more important needs. They could use a good, young, impact defensive lineman.
To the point where the 13th defensive lineman's better than the second receiver.
I
mean,
maybe.
It's possible. I mean, I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah, maybe. And I also like Belichick drafting on defense. I mean, he typically does well with D linemen, particularly early in the draft. Wilfork, Warren, Seymour. You know, Malcolm Brown he missed on, if you ask me, but at least they had him for a few years. But he does well on D when he drafts D in the first round.
Greg and Hampton, go, please.
Yeah, I wanted to address the myth that the Patriots are bad at drafting receivers. If you look back in history, you see Deion Branch, second round, Super Bowl MVP. You see David Givens, seventh round, vital role in the Super Bowl. Julian Edelman, Super Bowl MVP. Matthew Slater in the fifth round. The list goes on. I would argue that they're great at finding value.
Want to know your thoughts on that.
My thought is that that's just wrong.
Most of those picks are from a million years ago, and Matthew Slater is a special teams player.
You had to go back to 2002 for Deion Branch and David Givens.
And Edelman was a flyer.
17 years ago. So you had to go back 17 years for legit receivers. Edelman was a quarterback, never played a snap at wide receiver coming out of college.
And I would argue they hit on Malcolm Mitchell.
Me too.
But
you have to take Josh Boyce if you're doing fourth round wide receivers.
I mean, look, I'm just saying we can list.
And Chad Jackson, Johnson, yes. Bethel Johnson, whatever. They suck.
List them all. List all the receivers they've taken on under Belichick and how many of them can play.
Aaron Dobson.
Pete in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
And part of the reason the Patriots are who they are is because of general managers like mine, gentlemen, who took a steaming dump on the draft process and the Giants fan. I'm still trying to clean that filth off. Thanks, guys.
Okay. The Pats are so good because everyone else sucks, which is really true. It's one of the reasons. Belichick, Brady, and everyone else's ineptitude. That's really become the third place thing. It really is. I'm sorry. It just is.
Those Giants fan reactions from last night with that pick are tremendous all over the internet. Oh, and they're so mad.
Whether that guy can play or not is one thing, but it had to be at 6?
You could have got him later. The bottom line is they picked again in that first round at 17. He would have been there. There was people weren't horny for Daniel Jones at, what's that, 6th overall?
6?
You idiots. Oh,
it does.
My
it feels
God.
Unbelievable. I don't know what the Giants are doing. Like, they had the second pick the year they took Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, yeah.
So they
could have taken Sam Darnold instead.
Right. They take a running back over a quarterback that year, and then they stretched to take a quarterback at 6 this year.
Well, they could have met 26 probably.
By the way, by my math, I counted Belichick has drafted 16 receivers before last night. 16 in the draft. I think he might be able to find 2 of them that can play. Okay? 2.
This is Nick in the car on N'Keal Harry. Go, Nick.
Hi, I'm trying to feel good about the Harry draft pick because, I know he's a smarter receiver and he's going to acclimate quicker into the offense, but there was 2, like, really awesome guys that are, at least combine-wise, that stood out to me, and it was Metcalf and Boykin. Both of them ran, like, 4.3, 4.4, and they put up a lot of reps on the bench, so,
So, Nick.
You can compare Harry to him.
Hey, Nick.
Yes?
You like the DJ Metcalf kid, right? Okay, so listen up. I'm going to drop it. You can just listen. Mike Lombardi thinks you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Mike Lombardi was on his podcast early last week and had a message for anyone who likes DJ Metcalf. Is that his name?
DK. You're an idiot.
DK Metcalf over the guy the Patriots just took. Go.
He can run a vertical route. He can run a comeback. And he may be able to run a post. That's Metcalf. Metcalf's a 3-route runner. Now, all you fantasy players at home, if you like that, if you got those 3 routes in your offense, God bless you, take them. But you're going to have to run some option routes. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to run some in cuts. You're going to have to run some snags. You got to run a tree to be a really good receiver. To me, the kid, K'Neal Harry.
K'Neal Harry, yeah.
Now, to me, that's a legitimate receiver.
Right.
That guy can play anywhere on the field. He can play F inside. He can play X outside. He can go inside, make the catch. And when the ball's in his hands, he's a beast. He's a freaking beast. He can go get it. Now, everybody has him going late 1, early 2. Okay, great. You take Metcalf before him, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
So there you go, caller. I don't want to dump on your parade or anything, but Lombardi thinks you're a moron.
K'Neal Harry?
K'Neal Harry, yeah.
And no one can pronounce the name.
Freaking laser beams.
You're an idiot.
We'll know in 2 years.
You're an idiot.
We'll know in 2 years. It's stupid to say this guy is better than the other. No one knows. Not even the teams know.
All you fantasy players at home, if you like that, if you got those 3 routes in your offense, God bless you, take it.
If you like Metcalf, you're just a dumb fantasy player.
K'Neal Harry. Yeah, K'Neal Harry.
K'Neal Harry?
K'Neal Harry. Yeah.
Will and Beverly, final word on the big board. Yes, Will.
You're an idiot.
Hey, gentlemen, just want to say how much I actually love that big board. And real quick, really, I mean, not many bigger fans in Tom Brady than myself, but can't you agree that we got to at least get somebody in there so that he can be with Brady? I know Brady's not going to really show him the ropes, but at least he's around him.
No. I don't want Brady wasting his time and energy on some understudy when he's got winning that 7th championship to worry about and learning to throw to N'Keal Harry and the new tight end that they hopefully bring in.
N'Keal Harry?
11 picks left. No quarterbacks. Hashtag F the future.
That guy's delusional. Brady just frees the kid out anyway, like he did to Jimmy G, for crying out loud. You turn the shoulder on him, you freeze him out. Brady's not helping his successor.
Okay, it's hard to pronounce these names, by the way.
Kneale Harry?
Exactly.
Kneale Harry, yeah.
Exactly. Who knows? It's really, it gets more challenging by the day, as you will hear coming up in the final word.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nope. All right, so with the return of the big board, and another draft season upon us, means we're butchering names. Well, I don't know if I should say we. It's more Felger than anybody else. So here we go. Put together by Hardy, this is labeled the Draft Name Game.
The Name Game.
Okay.
Come on, everybody.
I'm going to assume this
top right.
I say, now let's play a game.
Oh, I see it. I see it.
I bet you I could make a rhyme.
Oh, yes.
Out of anybody's name.
Amani?
The first letter of the name.
Orurari.
I treat it like it wasn't there.
Amani?
But a B or an F.
Orurari.
Or an M will appear. And then I say,
Money, money, Bobani, banana, fana, for funny, feed fun, mo money.
Amani Oru Rarai.
Let's do Tony. Tony, Tony, Boboni, Banana, Banana, Boboni, Feet, Fine, Momoni.
Uruwari.
Pretty good. Let's do Billy. Billy, Billy, Boili, Banana, Banana, Bobili, Feet, Fine, Momili.
Amani Oru Rai Rai.
Jojuan. J-O-E-J-U-A-N. Jojuan Williams from Vanderbilt.
Everybody do.
Jojuan.
Jojo, Jojo, Jojuan. Banana, banana, fofo, one, fee, fine, momo, one.
Jojuan.
I think it's Jojuan.
The name game.
It's, looks like it's Jojuan. Okay. Orurari. Amani Oru Rarai.
Uruwari.
Uruwari.
Amani Oru Rai Rai.
Hi. Thanks to Hardy again for putting that together.
Jojuan's still available, I believe.
Oh, he's still there.
Yeah. Jojuan. Yeah, he's a cornerback, right?
Yep.
Apparently the Pats are horny for him. I'm telling you, Jones.
Jojuan.
The rest of other door. J-O-E-J-U-A-N. Jojuan Williams from Vanderbilt. Draft nerds. The big board is just getting started. Got a long way to go on this one. You may have to deal with more Felger and Maz hits coming up.
I'm telling you, all joking aside, the Patriots have 5 picks tonight. They may not use them all, obviously. I feel like there are more coming. Murray, I don't know if you feel this. Like,
oh, I think there's 3 more coming off that board today.
I'm telling you, we're getting multiple picks this year.
Little strong. Either way, the Baseball Reporters is coming up. So if you feel you've been neglected, Red Sox fan, here you go. Here's your hour. What do you got coming up on the show, man?
Okay, so a couple of nights ago, Murray will remember this. I said, you know, the sign of a bad team is that they never blow anybody out, right? They never blow anybody out. And the Red Sox went out 11-4. So nonetheless, 7 of those runs came in the 8th inning.
Making it?
A fake blowout.
Like.
Fake nice. Blowout.
Like it.
Nonetheless, there was an occurrence in last night's game in particular that caught my attention because I think it was a really good sign. Also, I want to talk about Michael Chavis and how he fits in going forward because the Red Sox are going to have a decision to make there eventually. And the starting pitching sneakily is actually getting a lot better. We'll explain.
Okay, here comes a baseball reporter. It actually feels like there's some positive takes in there.
Folks. I know. I don't like it either.
617-779-0985. Talk to Maz. No commercials, just an update. Remember, Bruins tomorrow night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. 8 o'clock puck drop. Celtics, 1 o'clock Sunday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Monday, 2 o'clock, we're back to talk about it all and the remainder of the Patriots draft. Everyone have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday at 2, Maz.
Have a good weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.